Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I am your host, Evans Zininga. And tonight, we are discussing the Zimbabwe proposed 2025 national budget presented by the Finance Minister, Mr. Mthuli Ncube, earlier in Parliament today, amounting to $7.7 billion. But first, let's take a look at what's happening here in the U.S. Cryptocurrency investors have big hopes for the approaching presidency of Donald Trump, who campaigned this year as a champion of digital currencies. VOA correspondent Scott Stearns has the story.
Campaigning for President Donald Trump compared the Bitcoin community to the power of U.S. steel 100 years ago.
But this is the kind of spirit that built America, and this is the spirit that's going to help us make America great again.
Trump says he'll make the United States the crypto capital of the planet.
If crypto is going to define the future, I want to be mined, minted, and made in the USA.
Following Trump's win, Bitcoin values reached record highs. Digital currency investors are encouraged by Trump's promises to loosen crypto oversight by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, where market analyst Garrick Heilman says Joe Biden's administration used tighter controls to keep out some bad actors.
It did arguably have a chilling effect on fraudsters wanting to come into crypto. So if you now introduce a light touch arena, you could have this kind of boomerang effect where even more fraud and crime take place, which has a very negative effect on people looking to adopt this as a real asset.
Trump's pro-crypto team is also looking at other policy changes to support the industry, says market analyst Susanna Streeter.
The policies that they have put forward include building up a strategic reserve of Bitcoin and crypto and other cryptocurrencies, because assets are seized from criminals, but they have been sold off. But the idea behind this would be to not just hang on to these assets, but add to them in the next few years.
Streeter says Trump's approach appears more in line with crypto's interests to keep the industry largely decentralized.
The team has also appeared to knock back suggestions of a central bank digital currency, effectively a digital dollar, that actually could lead to even more centralization of the currency, which is certainly not supported by the crypto industry.
And then there's Elon Musk, whose Tesla electric vehicle company owns a significant amount of Bitcoin. Musk joined the Trump campaign in its final month and will now co-chair the incoming government's efforts to improve efficiency.
I haven't been politically active before. I'm politically active now because I think the future of America and the future of civilization is at stake.
Heilman says Musk will be central to an expected Trump pump, building enthusiasm for crypto.
You know, he's a big fan of Dogecoin, which is a meme coin, which aligns with his philosophy that the most entertaining outcome, I guess, is the most likely outcome.
Digital currencies still face obstacles to wider acceptance, with Pew Research Center data last month showing that nearly two-thirds of Americans say they have little to no confidence that current ways to invest in, trade, or use cryptocurrencies are reliable and safe. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
The hungry villages in Mutoko North currently facing a devastating El Nino-induced drought, like nearly 10 million others in Zimbabwe, have found a novel way of saving their livestock. Already grazing lands in this dry land have been turned into dust bowls, but the villagers have tapped into their rich indigenous knowledge and come up with a local brand of stock feed based on Masekesa fruit. VOA's Costa Nkomo has the story.
The story of Nyaunre villagers, about 165 kilometers northeast of Harare, is about resilience, a bond with the land, and defiance against the parched earth. Felix Pawandiwa, a farmer and member of the Nyaunre Bushmeal Production Cooperative, is the voice of a community refusing to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
We are helping more than 3,000 people who bring their cattle here. We could be doubling the figure, but bushmeal is limited.
The Nyaunure people have transformed a masekesa fruit, a local delicacy, into a nourishing feed.
If we give each beast 4 cups, it can survive.
Livestock specialist Wisdom Gunzenze recommends crushing all ingredients to make the feed more palatable and digestible for cattle.
Monkey bread, just like maybe the acacia pulse, we can be talking about 12 to 15% crude protein. So with that 12 to 15% crude protein level, you can actually use it, mix it with other ingredients.
The locally made stock feed, which is selling at $7 per 50 kilogram bag, is generating income for members of the cooperative. Over 5,200 cattle are now heavily reliant on this stock feed. Mrs. Patricia Gwashavanu, a member of the cooperative, says she is paying school fees from the proceeds of selling the stock feed.
Now we are able to get money to send our children to school from this project. As for me, I struggled to send my children to secondary school before this project started.
The Nyaunure Bushmeal Production Cooperative has received support from the U.S. Embassy. U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Pamela Tremont, had this to say.
And so as we went out to the community to see the results of the project, we saw that livestock lives have been saved from the effects of drought by having this higher quality feed, and the ability of the community to sell some of the product, the 2 tons of livestock feed and the pressed oils. So this is just another example of Zimbabwean ingenuity, solving their own problems with a little bit of seed money and the U.S. Embassy support for these communities.
Experts say the Nyaunure Bushmeal Production Cooperative offers a template to other drought-stricken rural communities to follow in order to save livestock from crippling droughts. According to Zimbabwe's Agriculture and Lands Minister, Encias Masuka, at least 100,000 cattle have been saved in Zimbabwe through the provision of government-sourced stock feed in all provinces. Masuka says about 2.3 million cattle nationwide are in danger of the devastating drought.
We have also mobilized as government 15,000 metric tons of silage, and we have 8 dedicated 30-ton trucks that are distributing feed to the most needy wards. We have also launched an educational awareness for rural communities so that they can formulate feed at the local level using locally available resources.
In Matabeleland South alone, the Agricultural Extension Services reported recently that 10,000 cattle have so far succumbed to drought since the onset of the dry spell. In early October, the government reported that 4,500 cattle had died due to lack of grazing land and water. However, a report of the Drought Action Committee indicated that in Matabeleland South alone, about 900 cattle died per week in mid-September. Costa Nkomo, VOA News.
Presenting the 2025 national budget earlier today, Nure said Zimbabwe is expected to grow by 6% next year compared to 2% this year due to the La Nina weather phenomenon that may likely bring reasonable rains. He said the country's economy was devastated by the El Nino-induced drought this year, which left close to 10 million Zimbabweans without food and sufficient water. He said in the outlook, economic growth is now projected at 6% in 2025, slightly below the initial forecast of 6.5%. The projected strong economic performance is expected to emanate from the recovery in the agriculture sector, which is poised to grow by 12.8%, electricity generation by 10.6%, information technology by 9.9%, and by mining 5.6%. He also said normal to above normal rainfall is expected to result in increased agricultural production. stable exchange rate, and low inflation will provide a conducive environment to do business, coupled by tight fiscal and monetary policies. Overall, he said the economic growth beyond 2025 is projected to remain steady at 5%, mainly driven by private consumption and investment. Here is what Mr. Ncube said.
The initial bids by the various ministries, department agencies was ordered 700 billion ZEK. This is almost 90% of the GDP. Clearly, no country can support 90% of this GDP using tax revenues. So our envelope is of the order of 276 billion ZEK. That's what we're able to support. So we cannot fulfill the needs clearly because the economy cannot generate 90% of GDP in terms of tax and revenues. In fact, no economy can. So what we have is something where we think we'll be able to live within our means, and we believe that the budget is addressing the key areas which seek to entrench and strengthen our resilience as an economy to various shocks, be they internal, be they external. But in doing so, making sure that we invest in infrastructure, we continue to support our social sectors, health, education, and social protection for the vulnerable and other such important activities, enhancing food security, supporting our food infrastructure program or presidential input program. That's what the budget seeks to do. And any gap will be funded through some borrowings, we're able to do that, and also sale of assets. But I must say that over the last 6 years, we have shown that we're able to manage our budget without difficulty. We've lived within our means, and you can be sure again in 2025 we'll live within our means and have a good economy to grow at 6% of GDP, and this is good recovery indeed.
That was Finance Minister Mtuli Ncube at Parliament. Ncube also proposed taxes on fast foods and sports betting. Opposition Member of Parliament for Marondera, Mr. Caston Mateu, says this whole budget presentation was just a talk show.
The Speaker of Parliament cut me when I wanted to do a point of national interest. First of all, civil servants, most of them, have not received their salaries, despite their pay day being 19 November. But today is the 28th of November. Most civil servants and those in the public service have not got their salaries. So my question was going to be, why are we even wasting time discussing your budget estimates when you haven't fulfilled the 2024 budget already? If you look at the 2024 budget, most ministries were allocated almost 50 or less than 50% of the budget that was said in the same budget speech at the same time last year. So this is a facade to me. It's just a talk show. It's a formality that we have to come here and hear a budget statement from the minister. But knowing actually that nothing will come into imputation. Then the other thing as well is that he goes on about the tax on sugar. But actually, most beverages are coming from outside of the country. They are being imported. They're coming through tax shops and so forth. So at the end of the day, you are punishing the industry that is supposed to be actually building the economy. So he keeps on putting these taxes. And the paper bag tax, we have to call him the paper bag man. He's been putting a 20% paper bag tax. Absolutely no. It will have no effect to the revenues that this country needs. Actually, we should be getting more money from mining. You should have said, listen, all the foreigners who are mining in Zimbabwe, you are going to be paying so much percent of tax, so that we raise the money through the natural resources that this country has. But what the minister has done is just, rubber stamp the status quo where the government is very broke. He just rubber stamped that, and really, this was just a talk show. There is nothing to smile about. There is nothing for Zimbabweans that's going to change. We are just going to suffer as we go as a country.
That was Triple C lawmaker there, Mr. Caston Mateu, reacting to Mr. Ncube's 2025 national budget proposal. We will take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth, when we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And for those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss the Zimbabwe 2025 proposed national budget, we are joined by economic analyst and RBZ advisor, Mr. Persistence Gwanyanya in Harare, and economic analyst from Antahill Corporate Solutions, Dr. Eddie Mahembe in South Africa. Gentlemen, welcome back to Live Talk. It's good to have both of you back. I know we left with unfinished business in our last discussion when we were looking at the economy of Zimbabwe. And today was a very important day in the economic status quo for Zimbabwe. And we would like to start again with you, Mr. Gwanyanya, and pose a question to you that says, what were the biggest takeaways from your end from the budget presentation today?
Thank you. My immediate reaction to that question is the budget presentation today was realistic and pragmatic, but also responsive. Responsive to reality in that it acknowledges the increase in incidences of external factors and responsive in the sense that it is called around building resilience in the economy, but also transform sustainably our economy. We have been facing, experiencing, indeed, incidences of climatic change, drought on account of climatic change. We have also been experiencing as a country the effects of depressed global commodity prices. We experienced COVID-19 and the effects of geopolitical tensions are there for everyone to see. This has affected our trajectory as an economy. I shudder to think, had it not been for these external factors, I think we should have done quite well as an economy. But even with that notwithstanding, we have tried as an economy. Even if you look at the cumulative growth in the economy, it's not very bad, despite the occurrences of those external factors, mainly drought. Last year with drought, and the agriculture sector contracted, or this year with drought, and the agriculture sector is expected to contract by 15%, but that's not withstanding. Again, we have also seen the encouraging transformation of the wheat subsector despite the drought. We projecting production of 600,000 tons of food, which is actually going to give us some surplus. But we also hope that this good story inspires the production of other grains or cereals, mainly the maize corn. But I'm talking here in terms of building resilience in the economy, but you also, in response to the realities of the day, the pressing needs of the day, it's quite encouraging that even in this budget, we saw the minister trying to support the agriculture sector, especially irrigation infrastructure, with about with funding of the target 496.
So, Bagwanyanya, allow me, please, to interrupt there. Dzinozo wandisanya yatika kanganwa dzimwe. I would like Dr. Mayembe to come in as well and give us your thoughts, Dr. Mayembe, on the budget today. I hear Bagwanyanya is preaching now a lot of stories, a lot of pointers and factors. We will come back to him to continue on that, but give us your thoughts as well on the budget presentation today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I think I'll mention maybe 3 points. The first point is that I would think the closure of the budget where the electricity went off towards the end sort of maybe summarizes the gloom picture of the budget itself, in the sense that yes, last year the economy grew by 2% and is expected to grow by 6%. But at the back of these persistent power cuts, I shudder to believe how we can get to 6%. And in my view, I saw that the energy sector was only allocated around 0.12%. Maybe there could be some money allocated towards energy, which maybe I couldn't manage to pick it up. But when I see the current power cuts and also what was allocated to the energy sector, I think there's still need to be done a lot there. Then the second point I want to mention quickly would also to say, I think when I look at the budget, I will summarize it in Shona and say maybe there is a lot of Zindakupa, Zindakutorea. Zindakupa is the sense that, like what my brother was talking about, there's some incentives which were put in place, but they were quickly taken away by taxes, new taxes coming in. So it's like money comes in, money goes out. So it's at the end, I don't foresee this as something which will inspire people. Then the last point I also wanted to mention as a quick summary is actually to do with the agriculture. I remember we had a discussion last time. I see the agriculture was given 10.54%. which is actually slightly above the recommended according to Malabo declaration. But the challenge is of that money, the bigger chunk will go towards the compensation of former white commercial farmers and those whose farms were taken through under bilateral investment protection promotion. So at the end of the day, it seems like money goes in, but money goes out again. Mm. So it's not inspiring at all.
Aha, tiri kunzwa mapoints enyu Dr. Mayembe. Vagwanyanya, briefly, pabatwa nyaya pano yanda ndanyora pasi panapa, rega ndiverenge zvandanyora. Parutaura nyaya yemataxes, vanhu vanobheja kubhora kuya, vanofanirwa kubatirwa tax. Fast foods, outlets, nevari kutengesawo sadza remadhora riamtown, vanofanirwa kuti vabatirwe tax. Informal traders, varikupinda opapi. Is this really feasible in a functional economy kuti tax nevari kubheja uko vari kuita vana bheja iti wine vaivai vanofanirwa kubhadhara tax?
The challenge that we're facing as an economy is that the tax burden is borne by a few owing to the informalization levels of in the economy. And therefore, we always want to seek an opportunity to tax whenever you have that opportunity. I think reflecting on the increasing backing in the country, for example, it would appear that it's an opportunity to take everyone, and mostly those that are in the informal sector. You would want to make an assumption that they are the ones that normally bank. So it's an opportunity that you can take. Otherwise, those that the professionals, most of them, they are already taxed, and they are very few. They are already bearing the burden of taxes from PAYE to many other taxes. I think the same reasoning extends to even the taxation on fuel. We see that the only opportunity that you can tax or even get into the informalized, those in the informal sector. But clearly, you want to agree with me that the budget itself, I think it's 200 or so, again, it's the piece of 700 billion or so, reflect tight fiscal position. And therefore, at the moment, whilst measures are taken to grow the cake in the future, but today they may be need to increase tax collection.
Mm-hmm.
But also,
Ndikubate ipamuromo zakare. Allow me say to please interject again, so we can also give Dr. Mayembe a moment to respond. Mayembe, the budget as we close, Ngwedi Shomanasi, the taxes that have been mentioned. What are your thoughts on that as we wrap up?
Yes. For me, it's good that my brother is also in the comment, so he understands, and I agree with his first point that the tax base is very narrow because of the economy which is informalized. But I don't believe that we can tax our way to prosperity, and he knows it, that a tax is a withdrawal from the formal economy. So the more you tax, the more you shrink the purchasing power of the people who are supposed to actually benefit. I think the biggest contributor to tax should have been our minerals. We always talk about our minerals. We always talk about mining companies and so forth. So for me, that should be where the biggest tax should come from, rather than from ordinary men and women who are really trying to eke out a living, and then you squeeze them even further. So this particular budget will really make the poor poorer, rather than try to alleviate their pain.
Mm-hmm. Let's end it here today, gentlemen. I will make sure to invite you again next week. There's more to talk about in this budget. But for today, thank you so much for being our guest on the show. To our viewers and listeners, wherever you are in the world, we thank you again for being with us today. Signing off in Washington, I am Evans Zeninga.